Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. My returning guest today is Tess Dalka. And for those who have missed her previous shows, Tess uses card interpretations, astrological insights, and channeling with her angels to help clients receive their personal, multidimensional messages. So today's show is going to focus on truly understanding how our chakras connect us to all of life. And we're kind of calling it Groundhog Day and facing our shadows, which I think everyone probably needs to learn to do at some point or another. So welcome back, Tess.
Thank you.
All right. So what do you actually mean by facing our shadows and using the concept of Groundhog Day, which I'm trying to think, Murray, what was his first name? That was the star.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, because he was in that, and I think that's everyone's favorite story about golf. So what do we mean when we talk about Groundhog Day and opening things up and facing our shadows?
So for the use of why we were led to even discuss this is, if you remember, when we were going through all of the chakra understandings, and we did the first one, and we got through the first, I think, from 7 to 4, and then we decided to do the second chakra, and when I came to do the second chakra, it was kind of like Groundhog Day, where it meaning... And I'll explain a little bit more, but I like to use that personal analogy. I saw my shadow, and I'll explain that in just a moment. And then I felt uncomfortable with going into this information, which was very comfortable for me to go into. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the information. It never is the thing that's outside of us.
Right.
It's how we're thinking inside.
Right.
So let's look at what shadow means. And we just had this discussion before we started the show today, that so many people have thought of the darkness of the shadow as representing something scary, something to be feared, right? And so if you're going to fear something, you're not going to be very comfortable with it.
No.
So when I've been working with the angels, and as you know, I've had a 7-year crash course in multidimensional understandings of self through a process that Brooke and I, the co-owner of Serenity now, and we've talked about this in the past, where we joined up together with different understandings of how to approach spirit living, you know, love living, multidimensional living, how to approach it from a perspective of day-to-day mental understandings. And so as we went into this process, I started to learn the thing that, you know, we feared, including myself. I was actually literally scared of the dark. I'd be an adult. I went and I would laugh about it. I'd be like, you know, you run to the light and you turn on the light and then, you know, you're safe. And I knew it was funny, but I couldn't help that anxiety that would be there. So through this 7-year process, all of a sudden, what was thought of as something scary became just what they've found scientifically, the dark matter, which is in astronomy, they're talking about this infinite potential, that there's so much there that you can't even see anything, right?
Right.
And so if you start taking the dark concept, and they have that, people from different cultures have a different idea of dark as well. Lilith, who was thought of by some cultures as a demon, meaning against us, and some cultures have thought of her as the first wife. It's always been thought of as the first wife of Adam, A-T-O-M, A-D-A-M, right? The first wife who said, I'm not going to have you tell me what to do.
Okay.
I don't know how else to say it, but that's kind of like, you know, and then she went off to do her own thing. And so that's kind of what that darkness represents, is something our mind hasn't already decided is going to be our experience. So Atom, A-T-O-M, can be anything. It's infinite potential. And so with infinite potential, and we've discussed this, is always here for us. Uh-huh. It's very comforting to open to something we've never thought of before.
Right.
But if that infinite potential is something against us, which, you know, again, you take Lilith, and sometimes she's a demon and sometimes she's the goddess of birthing new things. Uh-huh. So, and I prefer her as birthing new things, because I do think that that's what she means is, and anytime they use Kali in some cultures, just the dark mother, the darkness, has been either revered or demonized. And I always think of demon as just a thought that something could be separate from us, which doesn't make any sense. Uh-huh, right? If everything's, quote, God, nothing can be separate. So to demonize something is to think that it could be separate, or to think that you could be separate. Right. So here we have this beautiful darkness that's always here for us, meaning infinite potential, that's always here for us. And as we start to see it that way, we have a different experience. Now, how does that fit into shadow? Well, how do we see something as our own individual experience? We cast light on it. So that's why people have thought, oh, bring light into the darkness. And yes, bring light into the darkness, but not because there's something wrong with the darkness. That's the infinite. You're bringing it there so you can have your own creative experience by what you're looking at.
Right. And one of the things, as you're talking about that, I kind of think about... not two things, actually. The birthing tunnel, of course, is dark.
Yes.
And then you come out into the light.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly in any delivery room, there's a lot of light.
Yes.
That babies are getting used to. But also the death process, the transition, is from the dark into the light.
Oh, yes, yes.
So you have, you know, both areas, being born and moving into the spiritual realm.
Well, and look at both of those beautiful analogies that you gave. So first of all, when you talk about coming from the mother, the darkness, so the great mother, the goddess, is the infinite that's always here for us, into the light, we don't become an individualized experience of ourselves until we leave the darkness and enter the light.
Exactly.
So you're literally saying that, you know, we're not going to have an experience of anything other than what we shine light on.
Right.
So if we choose to shine light on the idea of the infinite that's always here for us as against us, we are shining light on something being against us.
Right. And then that goes back to false evidence appearing real.
Exactly.
You know, because what we fear, if we don't look at it, then we don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. So what we shine light on is our gift of consciousness.
Right.
In the infinite that's always here for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I always think of, just for my own edification, God as the light that conceives, and I think we've talked about this before too, and goddess as what's conceived from, the everything.
Mm-hmm.
So as little, you know, children of God as God, we have both attributes. We have the light, what we focus on, and we have the mother, the energy that's always here for us to become something new. So the Groundhog Day, if you remember, I mean, it's spring.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally something new. And just so people have it, you know, I think most people know about the Groundhog Day, where if the groundhog comes up and sees a shadow and runs back in the hole, then there's going to be more winter.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning we're going to stay in that place of kind of sameness. There's not going to be anything new happening, right? So if we start to see something that we're going into, that's growing, we're growing into, and we're not comfortable with it yet, we go back in.
Right.
Right. And so then the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, and then they've done many other different movies. Russian Doll is another one that's just come out, which was really fun, about that same theme. The movie is all about the process of continuously having the same experience over and over, which we all understand, until we start to open ourselves to not trying to control it.
Right.
Every time the shift that happens in whatever time they use those as a movie is when they stop trying to control it and open their hearts to living it. And so that's what the angels have been teaching us, is that we're not here to decide what comes next. When people are, and God bless us all, I love us dearly, but when we're trying to manifest something by making it happen with our mind,
mm-hmm.
we forgot who we came from,
mm-hmm.
you know? Know who your mom and dad are. And mom and dad, you know, have much more to offer us than our child mind, little
right.
baby angels.
Right.
You know, so they're saying, you know, when you're ready to have something, when you pray, you don't pray to have something you don't have. You pray to acknowledge that they're giving it to you. And it's just a reminder, like, I know you're giving this to me. I am opening myself up to receive it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the same thing.
So you don't have to be the 2-year-old in the supermarket laying down in the middle of the aisle saying, I want that cereal.
Yeah.
Instead, you can just say, thanks, Mom, for putting it in the basket.
Yes. And I know I'm going to get it at the right timing. And that's the mm-hmm. other thing. And that's why we did the and I work with astrology, and we did that interview on astrology because that's all about timing.
Right.
And timing is not what's done to you.
Mm-hmm.
Timing is understanding how to respect what you're ready for. So there is nothing wrong with seeing our shadow and going, oh no, I'm going back in. We have not failed.
Right.
We are not in any way less than. We're not going to miss out.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I talk about this, my heart just feels so much comfort and love, because it's natural to resonate with that.
Mm-hmm.
When we think something like, oh, I could miss this, oh, and you know, any of those things, I could mess this up, which is, you know, what I was experiencing when I came to do, and this is what made the whole Groundhog Day, when I was doing the third, second, and first chakras, I was going, huh, I'm feeling anxiety instead of anticipation. And I knew there was nothing
to be afraid of.
Yeah. But I wasn't ready at that moment because everything I do, I actually learn it and integrate it before I share it.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm not, you know, saying this would be great to understand. I'm saying I understand
because I'm living it
from a physical, quantum right. physical experience.
Right.
So I hadn't integrated the fullness of the third, second, and first chakra. I'd only worked with up to the fourth chakra in my daily living.
Mm-hmm.
I knew about these other things, but I hadn't gone to that. I wasn't comfortable with the third chakra, the birthing of the divine, or the second chakra, sorry.
So weren't you excited when I said, we're going to work with chakras?
I didn't even know. I mean, that's what they do. You know, the angels, you just said, hey, you want to do chakras? I'm like, I don't know that much about them. But whatever, you know, all this stuff that I've been working with,
right.
once I started channeling it in, it was the perfect format. So thank you, Lucy. You you actually, as you always do, intuitively just assisted in that opening, which is what, you know, mm-hmm. counselors and psychologists do, right?
Right, right. That's very true.
And spiritual workers.
Yeah. That is very true.
So
then, how do the chakras fit with all of this?
Okay.
In the way you know, want to present this today.
Yes. And so let me say one more thing about the shadow, and then we'll go into that because
mm-hmm.
it's so related.
Okay.
So what we call shadow, and this just came in, you know, as we were actually getting ready to do the interview, the understanding, because I know the darkness is the infinite that's always
mm-hmm.
here for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. And then shadow, if you think about it, it's when you're going into that moreness,
mm-hmm.
that infinite that's here for us, right? You're opening your eyes to something new, but you haven't fully invested your full self into it. Like, you're not clear on how it's going to look.
So you're tentative. Okay.
And that's just a symbology that, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of started to form in my mind about, you know, because people face your shadow and they are interpreting a lot of times, just like the darkness was interpreted as
mm-hmm.
face the part of you that's not true to yourself or not honorable or not, and that again, everything I told you is just we switch it around to get to the multidimensional self. So there's a different way to look at it that I
right.
can tell you,
because so often, and I think everybody that writes
mm-hmm.
and presents this kind of concept, you hear about the dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
And so it's really not so much the dark night of the soul. It's just learning to look at what you deem to be a negative and turn it into more of a positive, a growth experience.
Yeah, and what we're working to do, and we are, and I've told you, we are very close to having an actual mindset format that assists people to flip the switch, so to speak, right? To be able to see it fully differently, is to understand that the dark night of the soul, right? When we think that we're going through something, we're having some kind of shift. That's why I love working with people who are ready to open into something new. They can think it's happening through being tormented.
Right. It's happening to them as opposed to for them. Right.
And what's confusing to people, they're like, no, it's literally happening to me. And the angels are like, we understand. But that's because as your moreness is happening naturally, you are resisting it. And so it's coming through in places of resistance. If you're not resisting it and you're opening to it, it can only be a joyful experience.
Right.
And you can't explain that to somebody if they try to look at it through the lens of limitation, because then they'll say, but what about this and this and this? You can only say, let me release the thought that there can be limitation except for enjoyment of creative experience.
Right.
And that's a whole other thing.
Because you know, and you and I have talked about this in the past, but it's so many of our so-called religious quote-unquote beliefs have to do with limitations. And so that'll be a whole nother topic that we have someday. But from an angelic point of view, they don't want to limit us in the least.
Yeah, and they do want, okay, so this to from the angelic point of view, just like what you said, they don't want to limit us in the least, because we are here to experience self-imposed limitation for enjoyment.
For enjoyment,
right,
as
now,
opposed to...
Yeah, is for suffering.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've had it where my gorgeous, gorgeous granddaughter, who by the way is named Kali, K-A-L-I, like the Hindu goddess, and I did not have anything to do with that. That was sheer beauty of my own daughter's intuition, but I mean, she literally represents the darkness. So, and that was, none of that was even around when she was named.
Right.
But my daughter Kali, what I love about her is she'll actually say, I'll say, you don't have to have this experience, whatever it is, as a challenge. I mean, I'm trying to give her something, literally. And she's like, no, I'm going to have it a challenge.
Does she like challenges?
She's just very honest. She's like, no, I'm going to make it tough. And I go, okay, well, and she taught me a lot. And it's really exciting to be able to let it be tough, too. And that's Brooke's thing that she's brought to the table, because from, I'm more of a loving feeling and she's more of a knowing thinking. And so she's like, I am here to be myself. Even if I want to kick and scream, I need to honor that.
Right.
And at first I was like, but when you want to feel love, and love makes you feel good, but then when you realize, wow, loving myself, kicking and screaming is even more precious, is even more powerful. So that shadow, again, is not meant to be looked at it with disdain or criticism. It's to be, hey, I'm only seeing a little bit of my light against the darkness. A little bit of my thought, and it's going to open. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, for the people that are listening that have had challenges, major challenges, health challenges, relationship challenges, job challenges, you know, whatever their challenge is, if they, I think, step back a little bit and instead of dwell on the challenge, dwell maybe on, how am I experiencing this? Can I experience it differently? Can I look at it, you know, as a way for me to grow, maybe?
Well, how about this? How about go, I am growing, and whatever way I'm doing it, I honor myself and love myself. And as I see that I'm growing and start to interact with it, because remember, when we have something that we had deemed, and I'm always going to say in past tense because I don't believe we have to think this way anymore, had deemed as a problem or a failing or a wrong, we're going to naturally do two things. One, stuff it, right? Like try and get away from it, which means we're actually holding it in.
Right.
which then it can't leave.
Well, so, and it does tremendous damage to us physically and emotionally when we do that.
Yeah, because it's not, we're holding something in place that's not our true nature. Our true nature is to know we're always going to be expanding into something new. Mm-hmm. And as our minds understand that, those shifts will be different. Mm-hmm. But to judge them in the meantime is to not yet have the mindset that allows it to be a different experience.
Right.
Do you see how it's that? And we call it the catch 22.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally like 11 and 22 are representative of having your own reflection.
Right. So, well, I know for me in working with families for many, many years, I've run into this, and I would think you have in what you're doing now too, but you're mm-hmm. sitting with someone and they are so sure that the interpretation should be this.
Yeah.
That, you know, you kind of wonder, how can I say this in a way to help them understand what's really maybe going on?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to illustrate it, trying to get them to look at it just a little bit differently. And that's tough because they want to hold on to that security of, no, this is the way it is.
Right.
And when you present something a little bit different, then they have to let go of that perception of this is the way it is. And at least consider this is how it might be.
Yes. Okay. And I think as a humanity, we are growing into a more, you know how when children become teenagers, they develop what they call abstract thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a part of their mindset as they can think
it's
differently.
It's not all black and white anymore.
It's not, yes. And so I think as we're truly angelic beings, but you know, we call ourselves humanity, mm-hmm. which I think almost is like the child stage mm-hmm. of being a creative being of the universe is almost like caterpillar, you know, the butterfly. So here in this aspect of ourselves, some of us haven't, and we're all like getting the idea of abstract thinking. And I think the ones of us who are starting to see it are like, oh my gosh, if I can think from a multidimensional perspective of this mm-hmm. as the infinite that's always here for us.
Mm-hmm. As, and not just a concrete place.
Yeah. And if I can think of it as not that there's lack, but that there's so much that I get to choose individually, that's a whole different way to look at it. I'm not going to say it's this because then I have to live it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You tell somebody, you know, if they really, once this concept is grasped, and like I said, we're bringing it in so that it's in a format that psychologists can use and counselors can use and life coaches and shamans and, you know, moms and dads. And so it's really meant to be there for us now. It's always been there. I mean, there's people like Paul, I can't remember his last name, but he channels in Raj.
Oh, okay.
Brilliant. There's a lot of people, and in fact, when I do this, I'm going to send resources because the more places you can hear it, the better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been said a lot, but we just haven't made that mental click into another, and that's what we talked about the very first interview we did, where are we missing the mark? Mm-hmm. If we come from lack,
mm-hmm.
that mindset that we have won't be able to interpret and understand the infinite.
Right. And the infinite is so big. I mean, if you're used to living in a space that is limited,
mm-hmm.
and then you say, but you have the whole of the universe, you have everything out there.
For you.
So that can be overwhelming to a lot of people because they don't know where to start.
Yes. And that's kind of like a child should not be out, you know, taking care of themselves and running their lives.
Right.
Until they develop the ability to think about it. That's why we get to see our shadow, which mm-hmm. is going back to that, when you're seeing our shadow and what I saw that day that I said, oh, I'm suddenly very uncomfortable with this.
Right,
and we went through this whole fun process of understanding what that meant.
Right.
I was seeing that my vision of in doing third, second, and first chakra, which mm-hmm. is literally the lightness of being is the third chakra, which is the fire. It's like saying, you know, I get to put light
mm-hmm.
into the infinite and create something.
Right.
So the lightness of being, the second chakra was the birthing of the child of the divine. And we'll mm-hmm. go back into all this, but that's actually saying I'm ready to come in. And then the first chakra, the base chakra, what has already been created. So when I came here to finish that, so to speak, mm-hmm. I was having to deal with the fact that, hey, do I like the way I'm thinking completely? Because I was still processing how to format all of this.
Right.
So it was fun because I got to see my shadow, and my shadow was like, I don't know if I want to. And when I say birth it, what I mean is be out in public with it.
Well, to me, it's like an embracing mm-hmm. of something. Mm-hmm. So you can hold it lightly, or you can embrace it. And you know how when you hug somebody and you really hug somebody, mm-hmm. to me, that's an embrace.
Yes.
And other people you're maybe not as comfortable with. So it's just a little hug, but it's not a meaningful one.
Right.
So, and I think that's where you were.
On the shadow.
On the shadow side, is you weren't totally ready to embrace it and make it a part of you mm-hmm. until you had lived with it a little bit longer.
Yes. And meaning, not the philosophy, but the actual sharing it with others to make sure, you know, because I'm very particular about mm-hmm. how the wording is used so right. that it can be interpreted in a way that allows our system to resonate.
Right. And you don't want to use words that you're not comfortable with anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a very fun thing. And then that birthed. But see, you see how even though it was uncomfortable because I had thoughts that weren't true, which was mm-hmm. that I had to wait, which why would I have to wait? Why wouldn't I just think, hey, I'm going to go out there, say whatever. We'll just change it later. Have a good laugh. Isn't that fun? So that's actually what we're looking at is as this is, because I was still incorporating that. And as I've been incorporating, I'm like, yeah, well, how could it be messed up? Why wouldn't it be fun? Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden now the shadow, the darkness becomes something we run to.
Right.
And
right.
we go, how exciting, I get to see something.
Right, yeah. Right. That's true. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, at the time of birth, that is the way the baby is sort of feeling. It's like, I'm ready. So let's get on with the show.
Yeah, it's time. So
I know the mothers at that point are going, it's time.
Yeah. Moms are ready.
Oh, okay. So let's kind of play a little bit with the chakras and how all of this fits with what you're talking about.
Absolutely. So for, you know, most people have listened probably to the other ones if they tuned in, mm-hmm. you know, to hear this about the ground.
Or okay. if by chance you're just catching Tess for the first time today, because I know we've moved to Fridays at noon.
Yes.
And so some people that never had a chance to listen on Thursdays at 11 mm-hmm. now have the opportunity. So if you've missed Tess, I would encourage you to go to synergyconnectionradio.com. And you can scroll down through all of the show notes, because the show notes are there, and all of Tessa's shows are then, you know, someplace in those show notes. And once you find her name, you know, you can click on the recording that's there, because all of them are about an hour long.
Yes.
So they don't have to miss you from the past. They can go back and find you.
Yeah, they can go back. And all of this is kind of built on each other, especially the chakra ones, because mm-hmm. that was literally, you know, two interviews we did.
Exactly.
On the chakras. And so to review them and to bring this into the experience of Groundhog Day, and how we basically, you know, come out to mm-hmm. something. And this is what we're talking about, is a new experience.
Right.
So when we're coming into new, whatever it is, it can be anything, you know, dating, work, family. When we're ready to have a new experience just means a new thought.
Mm-hmm.
When we're ready to have a new thought, that new thought really can only come from that something within us that hasn't already thought it before, which has to be the infinite that's here for us. It has to be, you know, the beyond us, the multidimensional self. It says, and that's why I like the idea of multidimensional, because it says you may be in one dimension of thought right now, but at the minute you release that dimension,
mm-hmm.
not think something new, because you can't think something new in the dimension that's created that thought, or right. the thought that's created that dimension. So you cannot think something new until you let go that you know anything about what you're thinking about.
Right.
You know, so basically, if you, for instance, are saying, I would like to have a different experience with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you know, I'd really like to have a different experience about my boyfriend because I'm tired of him doing this. Well, you've just thought the same thought.
Right. So you have to basically say, this is what I want to see, and have a different thought.
Yeah. Well, and this is where they really get, and this is why it's a little tricky, and this is why we developed a mind system for it that helps. If you go, I'd like to have this experience of my boyfriend, which is what people are thinking when they're trying to manifest. Guess what? You're still thinking that you had a different experience. So you're still, even though it will shift it a little bit, because mm-hmm. you are saying, I'm willing to do something different.
Right.
You still haven't let go for the infinite to take over. So I know, right? It's kind of like, okay, well then how do you do this?
Well, I, you know, what I was thinking is the concept that came out years ago, the secret, and you using that for attitude is everything, or abundance is there if we think it.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, you have to let go of that too.
Yeah,
you have to kind of say, I'm just open, and I know the very best for my good is going to walk in.
Thank you. So, and here's how I look at it. Again, as a humanity,
mm-hmm.
meaning a love of who we are, because
mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of what humanity is thought of. I like that idea of it.
Right.
So as a humanity, to understand that we are going to have stages of our understanding. So mm-hmm. we don't look back at being a toddler and go, oh my God, that was so embarrassing. I couldn't even walk.
I
was falling down
myself
all the time. Yeah, I couldn't feed myself. I pooped my pants. You know, it's not like something we look back with humiliation or with self-judgment or judgment of others. And we laugh when we think of that. But why would we think it was terrible that we thought we were the ones that were manifesting through our thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't... Of course we thought that. That was the next logical thing. Before we thought, I have no power. And then we thought, I do have some power. I'm going to think this and it's going to happen for me.
Uh-huh.
And it did happen a lot of times. But what people didn't understand is it was happening because they stopped thinking the other thing was going to happen.
Right.
Not because they created it through their thought. It's because they opened their hands enough
to get something different.
Yes. But what the difference is that even though that's perfectly part of our stage,
mm-hmm.
it still didn't understand what we're getting to now, which is that it was the infinite giving to us,
mm-hmm.
not us creating it.
Right. And the infinite obviously knows what's best for us, let's put it that way. So is only going to give us what is going to make us happy, joyful, peaceful. And if we get out of our own way with maybe our limiting thoughts, then that can come in.
Yeah. Well, and it's so beautiful, and it's simple yet
mm-hmm.
incredibly unknowable, because you can't know something that you can't know. So
well,
our mind can only learn how to enjoy it
and
open to it.
Well, again, I'm going to come from a psychological point of view here for a minute, because I know some people are going, yeah, but.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can keep in mind that the universe itself is a very loving mother and father. Then those people that might be listening that didn't have that great an experience
mm-hmm.
with parents, maybe they were very judgmental parents, or maybe they were very punitive parents.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was domestic violence. Maybe there was alcoholism, you know, or one of the other isms that's out there. So in that particular case, they might have a little difficulty shifting to believing that the universe parent is going to be loving and only give that which is going to support them and nurture them.
Hence the fear of the dark.
Hence the fear of the
dark. And the fear of the shadow.
Right.
So, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I used, and that's how I developed the cards, is a way to get out of my own mind
mm-hmm.
and ask the angels the questions, because I could channel it in, but it's still going through my mind. So
yes.
with the cards, I pendulum, and they give me sentences, and I read
mm-hmm.
the sentences, and then I interact with it, and then I ask them to answer this new question, and then I ask them, they'll tell me questions to ask them.
Mm-hmm.
So this was all like a kid saying to the parents, hey, you seem pretty scary to me right now, so and why are you doing that to my brother, and you know, what's up? Because that's how I felt. I was very determined to understand it, because I didn't like it, and that's a motivation,
right
so how
and
I,
then you were looking also more at what you didn't like rather than maybe what was possible.
When it started, you know, I started this at 18.
Mm-hmm.
At 17 I made a quote vow, don't ever make a vow. Vows are, you know, because it's a limited mind capacity,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to get yourself stuck in something. So
right,
I had a
right.
vow at 17 that I would suffer until the world didn't suffer anymore. because I didn't think that it was right that anybody should suffer. It was my, I thought, well, I think I could figure my way out of this, but what about everybody else? Why do they happen to have this? So anyway, it was something that I recognized at 30 after I was suffering, and I said, oh, boy.
I don't want to do this anymore.
And so what a great analogy, though. Right. I just thought of that for your question.
Right.
I had to decide at that point, was I suffering because God hated me, or was I suffering because I thought that's the way the world was, mm-hmm. and made a vow to participate?
Right. And that's the big key, is that you actually said, I volunteer.
I actually was aware of my decision. Mm-hmm. And so there's and I think that was the process,
right.
of becoming aware. That's the abstract thinking. Also, the person, children, when mm-hmm. they develop abstract thinking, which I think is around 13,
some a little earlier, but yeah.
They also develop the ability to understand consequence.
Yes.
So what was the quote consequence? And I never think of anything as negative anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just patterning. I mean, it's negative meaning I don't want it, and you get to, that's like huge. Please say I don't want these things. But we're learning how it's working. So it's actually our hands, mm-hmm. you know, as a baby, our hand hits we hit ourselves with our hand, and then we learn we have a hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can suck our fingers and we learn we have a hand. Mm-hmm. However we learn it, we still learn we have hands.
Yeah.
So
or toes.
But, you know, the hands we think of as giving us things, like taking care of things, right? And grabbing things.
Right.
So when we learn that we have magical hands that can either hit us by thinking the world is against us, mm-hmm. or we can, you know, use them for pleasure by thinking the world is for us.
Right.
Everybody knows, anybody who thinks things are going to work out, no matter what quote happens in the meantime, they work out. Now, here's what the angel said, because I said, well, then why doesn't it work out from the start? And they said, the strongest thought belief you have is going to be your strongest experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if I believe the world can be tough and hard, but it's going to work out, which was how I dealt with it, then it will always work out, but you will feel the tough and the hard.
Mm-hmm.
So the angel said, why would you have that as your base belief? Do you want to experience it? And I said, no, why would I want to experience it? I just made that vow so nobody had it. And I said, but I don't want anyone else to have it. And they said, why would you believe others would have it? And I go, because they are. And they go, you see, it's a catch-22. Mm-hmm. You're thinking that they are, so you're experiencing that they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but I don't want to let go until I know everyone's okay. And they said, that is not how you there's a multidimensional being, baby, sweet angel. It's not going to work because you're still holding on to that the world is suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, do I just disconnect from everybody? And they said, no, you interact by believing in people,
mm-hmm.
by believing in humanity as being loved and cared for, and that you get to participate as a part of that. But the minute you're doing it because you think that they aren't cared for,
mm-hmm.
or that they don't have that power, and that that's not going to be done for them regardless, the minute you think you're doing it, you're going to have a different experience.
Right.
So it's a question of how you want to experience the world. And there is no wrong answer.
Right.
There's only the cause and effect of thought.
Mm-hmm. I kind of go back to, you know, people that write music and books and plays. They realize that not everybody is ever going to hear their music or mm-hmm. read their book or go to their play, but it has a ripple effect. And so when we realize that we have ripple effects, we'll touch one life who then touches somebody else, mm-hmm. who then touches somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can be an instrument of change. You know, we can bring in divinity in our own way by changing who we are
and how we think of others. And I thought of an example that a lot of people know about because it's been used quite frequently,
mm-hmm.
And that is the teachers who were given different classrooms and told different things about the students.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all the same mix of students, but one teacher was told that their classrooms needed special education because they couldn't learn very well. One classroom was that they were gifted, I think, you know, and then there's the one that was just the regular.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing different in the students, but the way the teacher thought of
them.
The perception of the people, when you do something with somebody,
mm-hmm.
with a perception that you're doing it because they have lack, you will always experience lack. Even if they do well, you will still be living in a world that you have to do it for them. Do you know how many beings there are in the universe. and so you will be in a never-ending experience of lack. But the teachers who thought their students were brilliant had more results in the brilliance.
I actually had heard a very similar story. It was obviously a little bit different than that one, but where challenged students academically that had challenges, those teachers were told that this was a gifted class. And so they treated them differently and they excelled.
Wow.
And it was because they no longer saw them with limitations. They only saw them as gifted.
That is such a better story, and that might have been the one I heard, and I just reoriented it. So I like yours better, but because I mean
you
that
can
actually,
use it.
That thank you. That takes it to the next level.
Yes,
that is actually exactly what they're saying. So they're saying, you know, when you're looking at your life, you're not saying, "Wow, this." You're not saying that this doesn't suck. It does suck. You don't. I don't want this. I don't need to have this. Mm-hmm. But you don't think it's happening to you. You think, there's an infinite here for me, and I can let go of this, and I don't have to try and let go by saying, I'm going to make it this, I'm going to make it that, because then I'm still holding on to it.
Exactly.
I'm going to open to its potentiality.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So it's fun. So that's Groundhog Day, where we come up and we see what we have been thinking so far, and if we think, oh, out of the beautiful darkness that's here for us, I have only somewhat formed my thoughts. I'm still holding on to a lot. So my full light, my full consciousness isn't into the infinite. It's still from the lack. I'm going to hold back.
Right.
Smart move. Nobody ever said the groundhog was an idiot. It's just, we're not going to birth it. And that's honoring ourselves. I'm not ready for that. The way I'm thinking is still from my old thought.
Right.
So that's why we feel apprehension when something new is coming into our life. If we still are holding on to old thoughts, that's why I love working with people in shift, because what I do is I come from an excitement about it. And then once we think of the infinite, it's not like they have to think differently. They just have to remember that what's coming for them is the infinite for them.
Right. It's kind of like I'm visualizing a grand opening of anything.
And honoring spring.
And honoring spring in the case of Groundhog. But if you're ready to actually move out, because it is springtime and the shadow's gone.
The light has been, the infinite, the darkness that was the infinite potential that's always here for us has had our own individual creative light focus so that it becomes our experience.
Right. And then I remember saying this with you, I think, on our very first show, but actually if you're in that brand new store, and all of those aisles with all of those amazing things on them, you know, walking up and down the aisles, deciding which things you want to try on, which things you want to eat, whatever the store might be. So that, then it becomes exciting.
Yeah.
And it's like, then it's like going to Disney or going to Universal or going to Epcot.
It's magical.
It's magical. And everybody loves magic.
Yes. Yes. And so I know we've gone a long way to get to the chakras, but really we've already covered those, and it's great to go back. But I do think, do we have time for me to go through them?
We have, I think, enough time as long as we don't stay too long on any given one.
Well, and again, they were already dealt with, but from the groundhog perspective, which was more important than anything, is to understand that we're going to circle around something.
Right.
We're going to keep coming up to it. And then back off until we become so comfortable with the fact, the knowingness that it's the infinite for us. That's all we're learning. We're not learning what it is.
Right.
Please understand, we are just learning how to see it with the truth.
Right.
The light of God, so to speak.
Right. Or, now, as you get ready to talk about these, I am going to share what we talked about before the show started.
Yes.
Because I want people to, as we look at the seven chakras, and that's all we're going to look at, because there are more, but they're above the crown, and we've never talked about those yet, and they hook us into the divine. But of those seven, I want people to understand that six of them are actually holding endocrine organs. And the endocrine organs are what regulate us, for lack of a better word. So if you have a problem that is constricting one of those chakras, whether it's your heart chakra or whether it's your throat chakra, or maybe if it's even the intuitive, you know, third eye chakra, which is at the brain level, because the crown sits actually just above the top of your head.
Right.
So wherever those constrictors are, then the endocrine organ that is in there is actually going to be constricted as well. So then you do not function physically the way you need to function. So it's very important to kind of, as we talk about these chakras, to, I guess, recognize that the chakras are energy vortexes inside of a physical being. And so we are light beings, we are energy beings, and we have these physical organs that are sitting in there functioning. So if they're not, you know, if the energetic flow is not equal, then you definitely are going to have a problem with that particular organ. And I'll use one as an example that everybody knows, and then we can kind of look at each one of these.
So this is important. This is huge, though.
Sitting on top of your kidneys. So the kidney is in the, because it's in your back.
Solar plexus.
So it's at the, it's down, you know, at the base of, well, kind of like below your waist. So your kidneys are
also
sitting
more
there.
Sacral.
It is more sacral.
Okay.
So at that particular point, you have what's called adrenal glands. They sit right on top of your kidneys. So people that are constantly out of balance with giving, you know, they're getting to the point where they're in overload, are going to have what's called an adrenal fatigue. They just can't function. And it can kill them, quite literally. So adrenal fatigue is where, when you look at the world, it's like, I've got to do it, I've got to do it. Nobody else can do it. It's just me. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly doing that to yourself.
Right.
And you view the world as though, you know, the dragon has come to get you. So you have a tremendous amount of cortisol that's going out into your body because that's the fight or flight. And so you only look at the world as, I've got to run because they're after me, whoever they are.
Right, right.
All right, so that would be one of the better examples because I think in today's world, that particular issue, and it's very, very difficult to diagnose. Doctors don't have a good way of doing it. They'll run umpteen tests looking for adrenal fatigue.
Wow.
So the adrenal glands, again, you know, sit right on top of your kidneys. So if you're feeling like you're dragging yourself from day to day, you're probably in that particular chakra closed down. And that is closing the adrenal glands, and therefore your body is closing down.
That's so powerful. I mean, I actually want to do another show on that where we actually link all of the...
All of them?
Yes, because what you just said is magnificent for understanding how we relate. Let me do one thing, because you know we've talked about this, bringing everything into multidimensional thinking. It takes just a little bit of a shift. So instead of thinking of ourselves as having the chakras inside of the... What did you say? The chakras are inside of the physical, right? Yes.
They're inside the physical.
Okay.
They're energy vortexes, though.
Yes. So what? And so I like to think of it is that the physical is created by the chakras. So when you're looking at all of these things, as far as quantum physical beings, which is what we are creating the experience of physical through thought. So the physical is being created by the thought. The chakra is kind of the thought energetics. So that is creating this. Now, as we, and let's go into the format that we used from the beginning on how the angels flipped the chakra orientation. So what they said when you asked me to channel it in is the first thing they told me was very different than what traditional thinking had been, which was that it's not that we are opening our first chakra up to reach to the heavens. We are the heavens.
Right, we are divine.
Yep, becoming physical. So we are creating the quantum physical, right? We're creating the actual format of life, of living. And when we do that, that's why when we think of it that way, then we can recreate it by just letting go of what we were thinking. So here we are going into this, and we'll go back and say what they all are, but when you talked about the sacral, center, which is the tummy area, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
right below the belly button.
Exactly. And the angels, when they channeled it in, they called it the birthing a child of the divine.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was the same thing as the shadow, the fact that you chose that one was so perfect. That's what I was saying. When I was thinking about coming out in working with people on these, and it was really about the multidimensionality. Remember I said, it's not the chakras, it's talking to people about how to be a multidimensional being, because it is basically saying to everybody, let's flip our minds,
mm-hmm.
right? So when I was doing that, I was feeling what we call anxiety,
mm-hmm.
which comes, you feel it sometimes in the heart, because the heart is where the creative thought comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it's ready to birth,
mm-hmm.
we will feel it there. So these people who are having adrenal fatigue, what is happening is they're not wanting to go out and experience.
Right.
Right? Because their experience is of their thought is that I'm going to have to save the world, I'm going to have to do all this. So they're
exactly.
spinning. They're
right.
literally spinning.
Well, they don't know how to let go. And so a lot of them are micromanagers.
Yeah.
You know, because they have to have their pulse on everything, or their finger on the pulse of everything.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's so debilitating to feel like I have to do it all.
But it only ends up, everything only ends up working for us. So what happens is that they have learned
mm-hmm.
that there's something between their intent and the way things are. And
mm-hmm.
so they're focusing on it. And what they find is, okay, the way I've been focusing doesn't work. That's the
mm-hmm.
fatigue, that I can't do it anymore. And they have to let go.
Right.
Once they let go, they notice things get done, because they do have something in them that says, I get to have this. We all
right.
do.
Right.
And so then they start to grow with it.
Right.
So it's a really fun process that
mm-hmm.
we get to do. Now let's go back and do the chakras. But you'll see, again, I think we're going to have to, that's so great, the physical aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the angels started with the crown chakra. And they said, so we come in, we are the everything, creating a physical. And the first part of our physical experience, we're only 10% aware of ourselves. So, you know, we create all the way to the first chakra from the start,
mm-hmm.
but it's with a very small awareness, just like a baby takes a while
mm-hmm.
to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, when they said the strongest thought is the strongest creator, we don't know we're anything but limitation, because we had to first create the limitation to have a physical experience. So our only thoughts are of limitation, but we are energetic beings. So what happens is, as we grow into understanding ourselves, we recognize that what we are thinking is happening to us is just our thoughts connecting.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go, oh, well, that's all it is, then our biggest thought is the infinite is here for us, and why not open to what's there? And so you see, that'll be a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens, is we come in, and we come from the seventh chakra, which is spirit-centered awareness, is what the angels called it.
Mm-hmm.
Crown chakra. You gave the beautiful stone. We did the stones. You gave amethyst as the stone. And then the next chakra that they had, the third eye, the sixth chakra, was creative interaction as mental self.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, you know, when we're first forming ourselves, we're coming, the reason the angel said the spirit-centered awareness is it's, we know who we are on the crown chakra. That's why everyone says go to the crown chakra, because it remembers. Well, yeah, it remembers, because that's us. So,
right.
So that's always, just like our internal system is going to mature us naturally.
Mm-hmm.
The we're going to mature naturally as a spirit being. So we have the seventh chakra, then we come into the sixth, which is creative interaction as mental self. We're actually thinking of how to be a self. So the seventh chakra knows we're everything. This is saying, I know I'm everything, but I'm becoming a self. That's why when we look with the sixth chakra, when we see with the third eye, so to speak, we see with clarity still, because we're like, I know I created this.
Right. Well, the intuition lives there.
Yeah.
And so you not only know that you created something, but you know more of the reasons why.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the intuition gives you answers.
And you also know that you created from the truth of who you are,
uh-huh.
which is the infinite becoming. And I know we've talked about this. I have a very long definition for who we are, which is love, feeling, but it's... And it's broken down in the systems that we've been talking about, but it's because each word plays a part in us becoming
mm-hmm.
clear on ourselves. And so it's the infinite potential that's always here for us as multidimensional beings, having a finite experience. Let's see, having a finite I always say it so fast. Having a finite experience of creative individualism for enjoyment.
For enjoyment.
Yeah.
And you know, as you're talking about that and as we're looking at the chakras, I'm thinking of Legos. You know, that they have the little bitty Lego boxes.
Yes.
But it's a little bit like a Lego system that we were building one on top of the other.
Yes.
You know, because one by itself isn't quite all that you need.
Mm-hmm.
But when you build them all together, it is.
Yes. And so we start, and that's, if you think of it, once we get to the first chakra, that's like the first building, and then we just keep expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the fifth chakra, throat chakra, blue is the color. Blue sapphire is the beautiful stone that you thought of for that one. But when the angels channeled in what to say about it, they said it's communicating our soul's desire. And I asked them what the soul's desire is, and they said that everything can only be of love.
Uh-huh.
And
that's all there is.
That's all there is. And then when I asked them what love was, that's when they said the infinite potential that's always here for us as multidimensional beings, having an individualized creative experience of enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's a lot of words, in order to have it where we become very clear on ourselves, we have to kind of have a full definition, because love has not been defined except for feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And outside of ourselves, like I love this, I love that. No, love is, it's not outside of us. It is
us. It's within us.
Yeah. It's all we are. So emerald is the stone that you thought of for the fourth chakra, which is heart. And the angels call that, and it's green, creation of physical experience as self.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me it's Christ consciousness. And I said, what's Christ consciousness? And they said, be aware of what you're thinking. As a child of God, God is God, you're a creative being. But mm-hmm. we're not creating from ourselves. We're creating from the everything. And we're coming in
right.
for ourselves. Yeah.
Right.
So then solar plexus is the third chakra, lightness of being. Now, this is where we start to get into when the Groundhog Day starts coming up, is actually what I was saying is at the second, a little bit of the third and second. Notice when you start to think of something, a little bit actually, I should say, at the heart. When we start to... I'm actually even going up a little bit. The throat, you know, people...
Closes.
Yep. And then in that, so that all of a sudden, if we're not coming from love,
mm-hmm.
we first start to feel it there,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the heart starts to feel the palpitations, doesn't feel comfortable because mm-hmm. we're not thinking the truth about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to create the truth. Then the solar plexus, we form like these bands around it. So it mm-hmm. feels very tight. And you can at any time kind of identify these different things by experience, by physical sensations, by what you were talking about, the endocrine, which gland is being affected. And so that's when we start to go, I don't think I'm going to like what I'm thinking.
Uh-huh.
And that's why they call the solar plexus, which is the third chakra, the yellow color, you use citrine, which uh-huh. is expansion, right? Understanding
right.
the abundance.
Right.
They call it lightness of being because they're saying, bring more of the light in, bring more of the knowing, the spirit knowing. So
mm-hmm.
when we bring more of the spirit knowing, it starts to shift everything.
Right. And the citrine, interestingly enough, is pretty transparent.
I like that.
When you look at it.
Yeah.
So it does bring more light in.
Yes.
So we need to hit these last two because we are down to the
final
nitty gritty.
Okay. Well, and that's when the birthing and this. And you know what? We do kind of spin around
mm-hmm.
until we get to this place because
mm-hmm.
the last two are birthing a child of the divine, which is the sacral center, second chakra. Orange, carnelian, which is about emotions, and that's a whole beautiful segment in itself.
Yeah.
But that is when that birthing of a child of the divine, that's when we hold back and we feel the sadness, you know, the emotions, if we don't feel like we're thinking clearly.
Right.
So, and that's when we get the fatigue. So that's a great way to start recognizing, you know, look at the shadow.
Uh-huh.
And expand it. So the last one, what has already been created through the physical. So once you get to the base chakra, first chakra, it's already there.
It's already there.
Yeah. And so our joke became, oh, that's so seven chakras ago. Because when we have something new
right.
come in,
right.
by the time it's come into the physical, it's a done deal. When people come to me and they're like, all these changes are happening. I'm like, oh, no, they've already happened.
They've already
You're
happened,
just learning
yeah.
what thoughts you want to let go of.
Right. Exactly.
So you can enjoy it.
All right, Tess, in the last couple of seconds, please tell people how they can find you, and we'll be doing another show probably in about 2 months.
Okay. It's probably easiest at this point just to go ahead and call my cell phone, or actually I would say text 813-335-4868. You can also call and leave a message. And then the other way is Serenity Now, 727-787-5400, and that's Serenity Now Books and Gifts. I'm in Palm Harbor. I do a lot with them because Brooke, you know, is, and I partnered with all of this, and she's the co-owner there.
Mm-hmm.
So I do readings there. I'll do sessions with people there, and we're working on different things. The classes are going to go through there.
And you've done some, I think, by phone too, or Skype or
I
something.
I do phone,
so.
Skype.
Right. So people don't have to leave
offices.
The privacy of their home and go out even. They can reach you.
Yeah, it's a great way to do it. I actually have that a couple days a week.
Okay.
So that's one of, because it's so nice to be able to just go and relax afterwards. They don't have to leave their house.
Yeah, that works. All right, everybody. I really appreciate you being one of the listeners to the Synergy Connection Show. And again, if you think that there's somebody who should have heard this show, please send them over to synergyconnectionradio.com. And Tessa's shows are all archived there, but the newest show, you know, is going to be up Friday at noon. So have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. And we will look forward to seeing you next Friday. Make it a good one.